Put your hands up.
Oh, not up there.
Nobody move. This is a hijack.
Hijack.
Hello, Fred.
All right. Cut the rubbish jokes.
Oh, we can't. Please don't make us.
Why not?
We'll only be left with 10 minutes of material.
Keep your hands up where I can see them.
Oh, look, what do you want from us?
I want you to take this radio show to Cuba.
What?
We're claiming this commercial radio station on behalf of Radio Prune, People's Democratic Full Popular Frontal Radio. Nobody'll get hurt as long as we touch down at Havana Airport by Christmas Eve.
Gasp!
Don't look so worried. I'm only joking.
Yes, folks. It's I'm sorry, I'll read that again. Again!
And now, a warning for shipping.
Watch out for the waves!
His hair was like burnished gold, and his head stood proud and strong. He had a kind face that reminded one of winter evenings in front of a blazing log fire, long afternoons stretched out on a sun-kissed beach, or Christmas Eve with Father Christmas soon expected. But it was his eyes that caught the attention. They sparkled like fresh fallen snow. And yet there was a sadness, as if some painful memory were imprisoned in the dark, uncharted corridors of his mind. If you have seen this man or have any information, please contact Crime Watch on 0800 767 898. But please don't have nightmares.
I only listen to the radio because I can't afford television. I think it's deplorable that, yes, because of this, I'm denied the pleasure of the visual arts. I feel I am being rigorously victimized, which makes it difficult to sit down. Radio must have more visual appeal, otherwise I shan't watch it. So there. P.S. There must be thousands like me.
I very much doubt it. However, we now bring you the first in our series of Radio Prune's visual arts presentations. It's the Royal National Ballet's Swan Lake, with commentary from our sports team. Welcome, Covent Garden. It's absolutely dry and bright in here, though it is beginning to get rather murky now as they turn the house lights down. The boards are firm and it's a grand night for dancing. I can see the corner ballet prancing their way over to the wings. So, for a closer look, over to Peter O'Sullivan.
And here in the wings, there seems to be some confusion. I can see someone adjusting his girth, and the little girl in pink doesn't seem to know which way to turn. She is confused and is now facing the wrong direction. Oh, anyhow, they're leaving her behind and they're getting into order. They're coming into line now, and they're off! Oh, and as they scamper towards stage left, the oldest dancer is right at the back. He's wearing a sheepskin liberty bodice and has one leg bandaged. And as they go away from me now to take up the story is John Motson.
Well, the back ballet dancer is trailing at the moment, and he's clearly out of position, but here he comes. Oh, he beats one man. Oh, two! A beautiful sidestep and pirouette. And he's through! Oh, he's through! He must score! He must! Shoot! Shoot, you idiot! Shoot!
Thank you, John. And Nureyev is now spinning quite superbly round and round the stage. I lost sight of him at proscenium corner, but here he comes again. Just listen to this as he goes by. Oh dear, he seems to be drawing into the wings, probably refueling. Over to you, Captain Mark Phillips.
And that's a clear round for Nureyev, and now here's Margot Fontaine up and over the second. Formerly known as Maggie Flopdown, she's in lovely condition with a fine coat on her. Oh, but she's taking that off now, and just look at the power in those legs. She comes to the edge of the lake to take the water jump. When she's up... Oh, Andy, and I'm afraid...
Major get four faults for that, but let's take this opportunity to bring in Ron Pickering.
And with a fine, powerful backstroke, she's coming to the edge of the lake, and at its exciting moment, we'll hand over to Claire Boulding.
On Ladies' Day, Margot was wearing a gorgeous leotard and expertly fluffed tutu, but that's ruined now as the water has soaked right through. And now, over to Harry Carpenter at the stage side.
Fontaine coming out of the blue corner, shocked with that order in the face from her trainer. Nuriab's coming out of the closet in the pink corner, and they're just dancing round each other right now. They've started swaying, trying to get in closer to Landau. Nuriab, waiting for his moment. Oh, and he's got her by the leg. He's pulling her round. She's got her arms outstretched for someone to throw in the towel from the wings, and she's just hopping on the toes of her one foot. He's pulling her arms over her head, and she's offering no resistance at all. And the crowd's going mad. Now he's grabbed her around the waist, and he's prancing around the stage. Oh, no, he's dropped her. She's up again, and they've gone back to the corner. That was incredible. Back to you, Captain Mark Phillips.
Now it looks to me as if she's going to have another try at the water jump. Or she's gone back into the wings briefly, but here she comes. She hits the boards and all. Oh, what a leap. Oh, I'm losing sight of her. Come in, Raymond.
Yes, she's just gone over my head and then over the orchestra, sailing towards the first balcony. Harry?
She's floating way up by the chandelier now. Over to you, Claire.
I can just see her now making a double circle of the auditorium. Oh, dear. She seems to have stalled.
She's coming down.
Past the upper circle.
Past the first balcony.
And she's landed in the royal box. And the crowd's gone wild. What did you think of that, Harry?
I haven't seen such grace and movement since Arlene knocked out Fraser with a bomb mop to the kidneys in 1977.
And with a final summing up, Gabby Logan.
I never realised that ballet could be quite so exciting.
In you.
L
is for the laughter that I hear the whole night through.
I
is for infatuated I am with you, my dear.
M
is for the music that I hear when you are near.
P
is for the passion that I feel for you each day.
H
is for the horror if you ever went away.
Weatherspoons, an old country inn. Oh, a true part of our English heritage.
Ooh, English dishes served in a friendly atmosphere. Oh, I'd rather they were served in a sauce.
Oh, let's go inside.
Super idea, Alan.
Good evening.
Evening. You left it a bit late, aren't you? It's nearly 7 o'clock. Kitchen shuts at 9. All right, give us your coat.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That'll be a pound each.
A pound?
Well, either that or we'll go through your pockets while you're eating. Now, did you book?
Well, yes. Table for two under the name Alan Pratt.
Oh, yeah. As I said to the cook, couple of real prats in tonight.
I beg your pardon.
You can beg all you want, mate. You won't get it. Now, this way.
Oh, Alan, my foot's caught. I can't get my heel out of the floor grating.
Grills are our speciality. Oh, I forgot to tell you that. Just step out the shoe and leave it there with the others. Now, come along, come along. Hurry up.
Oh, very well. Shall we, Oh!
Yeah, mind the beam.
Oh!
And the other way. Right, this is your table.
What? Out here in the corridor?
Yes, I've got my sit-on lawnmower stripped down in the dining room.
Well, what about the breakfast room?
I got the wife stripped down in there. Now, come on, look sharp. Start ordering. Most things is off anyway. At least it smells like it.
Well, I think we'll start with the martini aperitif.
Oh, no, you won't.
Well, the Davisole looks interesting.
It isn't.
Well, the description says it's stuff.
Yes. with truffles and caviar in a lobster and white wine sauce garnered with buttered artichokes and deviled shrimps. Mm. It's quite delicious.
Oh, two of those, I think.
Oh, yes, please.
It's off. Well, we have got two portions left, but one's for me, the other's for the cat.
Well, how about the mushroom stroganoff?
No, you're too early for the mushrooms.
Too early?
Yeah, they ain't got up yet.
Angela, how about the wagyu de polo and a poivron sal?
Oh, now that's one of our typical English dishes.
Oh, what is it?
I don't know. It's a very rare dish. No one has ever ordered it before, but it might be curried toad. Right, so that's two toads then. Now, the sweet, prunes or fruit?
Oh, what's the fruit?
Prunes.
Well, I'll have the prunes.
Oh, the prunes are off.
I'll have the fruit then.
Right, one prune.
We'll take white coffee in the lounge to finish.
No, black only. Much more economic for us. You can't use the lounge. Got a stray pig in there.
You know, I really can't think what wings people hear.
Well, cars mainly. I did have a bicyclist the other day, but him got run over by my tractor.
Oh, how awful.
It was. I had to get the back axle realigned after that.
Now, it says here, with food served under the personal supervision of the proprietor. Well, we've not seen him.
Well, perhaps not. But he's watching you. Through that crack in the ceiling.
No. This just isn't all.
Oh, well, if you like, sir, you can leave a review of our establishment on Tinternet. We have a comment thread on there, where you can leave constructive criticism and
a candid impression.
I do, sir, yes.
What?
Oh, ho, how tickled I am. Oh, ho, isn't this the sort of day, Mrs. Isn't this the sort of day for sticking a broomstick handle up Lewis Hamilton's bottom and saying, how's that for pole position?
Candid impressions, not Ken Dodd impressions.
Sorry, sir. No, please accept my apologies. Now, how's about a complimentary bottle of champagne?
Oh, I think that would be very nice, after all the woundedness.
Well, cheerio then, sir. I'll be back in an hour.
No, where are you going?
Off licence. It's a few miles driving my tractor.
John, how much longer is this going to go on? This lying awake at night, tossing and turning, talking and arguing, never knowing what you're thinking. What's on your mind, John? Why can't you sleep? Why can't you rest? Oh, John, where's the sleep that knits up the ravelled sleeve of care? Oh, John, if there's anything I can do or say that'll help you rest a little. John? John? Wake up!
No. What is it?
Talk to me, John. Say something to me. Say you hate me. Say I'm ugly.
Which?
Say I'm ugly.
All right, you're ugly.
Oh, you're only saying that. You don't really mean it.
I do. Take your nightie off and ask me again. It might distract me from your face.
Oh, John, can't you see what this thing is doing to me? Why are you laughing, John?
I always laugh when this thing tries to do that to you.
You don't care. You never think about me. Up and down all night, warming the milk, mashing the rusks, all the crying and the bedwetting.
Yes, I know.
I wouldn't mind if we had a baby. Oh, John, I'm going to have to ask you a sensitive question for the sake of my sanity, and I want you to be truthful in your answer. Will you still love me when I'm wrinkled, bloated, and grey?
I do, Mary. But I don't mind. You remind me of Jumbo.
Who's Jumbo?
Oh, just an elephant I used to go out with.
An elephant? An elephant? Was she pretty?
Well, more sort of striking. She always seemed to stand out at parties.
But what has she got that I haven't got?
Big floppy ears.
Oh, well, that's just silly.
And two enormous great tusks.
Can I help it if mine are so small?
You haven't got any.
Well, of course I haven't. But I've got other things.
Yes, but I can't hang my hat on them.
You can when it's cold.
Look, I just want what I used to have with Jumbo.
What did you have?
Well, we used to play bridge together every night.
But that's what we do.
Yes, but you don't play it like she does. I mean, every time I played an ace, she used to trumpet.
I suppose you think of her a lot.
Never.
I don't believe you. I think you're trying to recreate her with me.
Nonsense.
You wish I was an elephant, don't you?
Rubbish.
When you're kissing me, it's really her, isn't it?
No.
And when you look into my eyes, you see Jumbo, don't you?
I don't.
Well then, John, stop stuffing cream buns up my nose.
Look, Mary, it's clear this isn't working anymore.
Why can't we make it work, John? Is this all because I sold your conjuring set last week?
Yes. Ever since then, the magic's gone out of our marriage.
What can I do to make you love me again?
Buy me another conjuring set.
Oh, John!
And now, a summary of the weather.
Sometimes it's summery. Sometimes it's wintry.
Thank you. Here is a police warning.
Look out, the fuzz!
Like the police, establishment figures can often be a source of ridicule. Here at Radio Prune, we'd never poke fun. Who am I kidding?
In his hand, everybody knows him as the mystery man. Riding a tube train in his bowler hat, I don't know where he's going, but he's where it's at. Chartered accountants, chartered accountants, chartered accountants,
I love you.
What does he look for? What's he hope to find? Psychedelic figures blowing through his mind. Women all want him when he's standing there. Every lady wishing he would count on her. Chartered accountants.
What's your secret? Can you turn me on?
No.
Show me that forbidden land behind the times.
How about Monday at 4:30?
Ooh.
Chartered accountants in your pinstripe suit. How I wish I had the nerve to dress like you. Help me if you can. Won't you show me how to be a mystery man?
Chartered accountants.
Aye, aye, aye,
chartered accountants.
Aye, aye, aye,
chartered accountants.
Aye, 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 aye. I love you.
Radio Prune presents a dramatic documentary reconstruction of that dreadful series of crimes which terrorized the inhabitants of Victorian London. The story of Jack the Ripper. Our story begins in London, 1888. Queen Victoria was still on the throne.
Hurry up, I need a wee!
It's the night of December the 8th. The city is in the grip of a dense fog.
Gotcha.
In the dismal area of Whitechapel, the first of a series of victims makes her way homeward. It is Nellie Button, a lady of ill repute.
Oh, I'm ever so poorly.
In my repute voice.
In the sinister alleyways, Nellie Button, her clothes ragged and filthy, her hair unkempt and dirty, her face haggard and grimy, plies her trade.
What an horrible time, sailor.
But little did she know what fate had in store, for behind her in the gloom, a menacing figure slipped out of the shadows. Whoops! Picking himself up, the shadowy figure crept up behind her. As Nellie stooped to adjust her shoelace, hands reached out from the mist at her back. The hands of...
Oh,
Jack the Ripper! Yes. The fiend had ripped the very bloomers from Nelly Button and dashed off into the night.
Dash! Dash, dash, dash! Dash!
And that night, Jack the Ripper struck again. Ah! And again. Ah! And again. Ah! And again.
Yeah, yeah, what's your game?
Next morning, the news broke, but was put back together with glue. On street corners, news vendors shouted the headlines.
The headlines! The headlines!
In Parliament, questions were asked, and Queen Victoria was not amused.
We are not amused. Oh, I don't know, though.
The news reached Scotland Yard and sent the police reeling. The police superintendent was informed by his faithful sergeant.
You know, it's the fifth pair of bloomers Jack the Ripper stolen, sir. This lad's a bit of a tearaway.
Oh. Don't bother me now, sergeant. I have more important business. After all, this afternoon it's the Royal Garden Party.
Have you been invited, sir?
No, but my garden has. But in spite of the efforts of the police, the Ripper remained at large. That very night, or one quite like it, the Ripper was to strike again. Nobody's underwear was safe!
We've got to stop him, sir. The people are losing their patience, and their knickers. It's up to us, Superintendent.
I suppose so, Sergeant. We must go to Whitechapel this very night. He's bound to strike. Look at that fog out there. It's a real...
pea super?
No, just had one. Right, Sergeant, into that cab and on to Whitechapel. The teeming nightlife of Whitechapel. The flower sellers selling flowers. The desperate beggars desperately begging. The filthy prostitutes prostituting filth. Oh, what's that fellow over there?
An organ grinder.
Better keep clear of him then, Sergeant. Suddenly, a scream rang out.
Hello?
Yeah,
thank you.
The Ripper had struck again! There's only one thing for it. We must seek help. Sergeant, you go back to the station and take down the particulars of the next victim.
Take down the particulars?
Well, it'll stop any more getting ripped.
Where are you off to, Subar?
I must go to number 221B Baker Street without delay. Ah, Mr. Holmes, I need your help. Your incredible powers of observation, for example.
Madam! You flatter me.
Madam?
No, I'm Sherlock Holmes. And you are my evil nemesis, Moriarty!
I'm not. Look, Holmes.
Where?
What? I'm the superintendent.
Who is that speaking?
It's me, the superintendent.
Oh, two of you now, eh? Have no fear, my incredible powers of observation are at your disposal.
Oh, thank you.
Your Majesty, I am honored to be asked.
I'm after Jack the Ripper.
Attila the Hun, you say? Good grief! The most dangerous man in Europe.
No. Jack the Ripper. Jack the Ripper.
Oh, thank heavens, they've all gone.
Mr. Holmes!
Ah, there you are, Watson.
No, it's me!
And so you shall. The game's an ankle.
Afoot.
It's definitely connected.
Perhaps I should talk to Dr. Watson.
Good idea. Watson, bring tea. Bring crumpets. Bring.
You rang, sir?
This is my faithful companion, Dr. Watson. MD, MRCS, and Iceberg.
Iceberg?
Yes, I've got lettuce after my name.
Everyone a zinger! The superintendent opened up the newspaper he was carrying and pointed to the headlines.
Do you have any idea who's behind this?
You are!
What? I most certainly am not.
Of course you are. Who's behind the newspaper, Watson?
The superintendent.
I rest my case.
No, I don't mean who's behind this newspaper I'm holding. I'm referring to the headlines.
Oh, I like to call them frown furrows. I get them when I crinkle my forehead in deep thought.
Oh, for goodness sake. Watson, can you explain to your friend?
Certainly. Holmes, the superintendent is asking if you know of anyone who might be masquerading as Jack the Ripper.
Good deducing, Watson. I've taught you well. You've excelled yourself. Now go and get a cloth and clean it up.
So, do you have a clue, Mr. Holmes?
Normally, I'd blame it on my evil nemesis, Moriarty!
But Moriarty's been captured and imprisoned in that high-security cell in Boughton-on-the-Water.
Is that the small, confined cell built within the tiny replica village there?
Yes. They're trying to make him a model prisoner. Who's that clapping? Anyway, I think it's time for a cup of tea and a mince pie. You can move the tea tray from the sideboard, Watson.
And so saying, Watson crossed to the table with the tea tray and bent down to place it in front of Sherlock Holmes. It was clear that Holmes would be as confusing on this case as a US minister would be for the family at a royal wedding. The superintendent returned to the yard to reunite with his trusty sergeant. The superintendent wanted to pen a letter. As the secretary stepped through the door, the superintendent saw her as if for the first time, as the light hit her face at a certain angle.
Sorry about that. Yep, just changing the bulb.
Don't move. Stay right there. For the first time, I'm seeing you as a woman. Before, I've always seen you as two little bald-headed men peeking out of a sack.
Oh, take me in your arms and hold me.
Oh.
Here, here.
Yeah, watch it, mate.
Yeah, watch it, mate.
Who are you?
We're two little bald-headed men.
Yeah, that's us.
That's us.
I see. So I was right. Well, what are you both doing in this good lady's brassiere?
We're the supporting actors.
Yeah, very supporting.
Oh, this could never be. Until I've caught Jack the Ripper, I shall have no peace.
Not even me.
Not even you.
But, Superintendent, I could end this for you. I've got a hunch.
Oh, no, no, it's only us.
Have a look round the back.
No, no, I think we could catch the Ripper by setting up an irresistible challenge.
Like what?
I have locked the door because I believe that someone in this room is the Ripper.
Gasp!
And now I will turn the lights off, like so.
Hey, who was that?
Oh, my bloomers!
Here, we're not even main parts. Oi, watch my main part!
Turn the light on at once!
Superintendent, you appear to be showing your policeman's whistle.
What? What?
You know, your policeman's truncheon?
Don't know what you're talking about.
Your policeman's, help?
Superintendent! What is your full name?
My name is Superintendent Jack T. Ripper of Scotland Yard. Oh, my God, what a giveaway! How did you know?
Well, the Ripper couldn't leave himself unripped for fear of being found out. But your own bottom was a lot more difficult to reach, and unfortunately, you ripped the wrong side.
So I've been exposed.
Quite literally.
Superintendent Jack the Ripper, eh? Who'd have thought it?
Everybody. Cue the applause. Play the music.
You have been listening to I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again.
Again.
A selection of sketches and songs by Graham Garden. Music was arranged by Andrew Barrington, with Andy Rushton, Catherine Thomas, and Paul Wood. The show was adapted, directed, and produced by Barnaby Eaton-Jones, who also supplied additional written material. Sound effects were by Kim Jones, and the sound was by Craig Wilson-Cobb. The show was edited by Andy Rushton, and we give grateful thanks to Jeff Roberts and Dirk Maggs. And for the last time this evening, you'll hear the stuffed ferret intone these words.
Oh, no! It's the end of I'm Sorry, I'll Read That Again, 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 Again!
My name is Angus Brew.